100 years ago, the dark wizard Hollowell raised an army and tried to conquer the world. He was stopped by an unlikely hero, Sheriff Aesop Stormwood. As Hollowell died, he prophesied that he would be reborn twice more and rise again. Stormwood looked him in the eye and said if Hollowell did, his descendants would strike him down. Sheriff Aesop Stormwood went on to form Stormwood and Associates to make sure they'd be ready for Hollowell's returns. A private detective security and federally licensed magic users agency. 25 years ago, Hollowell returned for the first time, and a Stormwood made good on Aesop's promise. But the third coming of Hollowell may not be so far in the future. But the young Raz Stormwood just might know it's coming, and she plans to be ready.
Previously on Stormwood and Associates.
Well, stuff happened. In the previous adventure, the team went out to Morris Halada to find this guy, Mikhail Enris, also known as the Artificer, a technomancer, because they wanted to find out what was going on with two items. One, the football, a giant, big, magical item that they stole from the Order of Greyhaven, and the other is they wanted to find out the contents of a soul stone that team member Kel used to carry around with him for a long time that he had lost back in the town of Phoebe and that the team went back and got without him because he's been off with Barrow Mackay on kind of an extended mission undercover in the Order of Greyhaven. Well, they found out that the football is the Stone of Rebirth and is likely the mechanism by which Hollowell keeps getting reborn, which is good information to have, and they also discovered the contents of the Soul Stone. The good news is that the contents of the Soul Stone is Kel. It turns out that it was their buddy Kel's soul in that stone, but what that meant was that they severed the ties between that soul and the body it had been illegitimately inhabiting, it turns out, as that body apparently belongs to Hollowell. You know, the guy from the intro that just played right before this bit. Yeah, so, Kel had been returning from his mission with Barrow Mackay and had been in the airport with Barrow Mackay. The team rushed back the multi-hour drive back to San Ricardo to the office to find everybody mostly dead. Barrow Mackay very dead. The interns and Mara were on the edge of death, thankfully saved by the death-proof ward that NK had installed in their headquarters. After pulling Barrow Mackay's limp corpse from a hook, NK stood up and pretty much declared vengeance that she was going for vengeance. That's what happened there. That's where we left things. So right now the team is standing late at night in the Stormwood and Associates office. Both NK and Raz have guns out as they don't know where they're going, but they've decided they're going to go hunt down and kill Hollowell. There's still, like, everyone else is just sort of in recovery. Mara and the interns are beat up but alive thanks to the life-saving efforts of Babbitt. And everything's just sort of in disarray. Oh yeah, and Kel's in a box. Kel's a box now. It's a talking box now. With internet access. That's just a thing. And we are... That's where we are.
Oh, yeah. podcast.
Okay, so the small box. Who has Kel right now?
I imagine Raz would, like, keep track of him. I mean, he is her brother. I think Raz has him.
Okay, the small speak... So where does Raz have Kel?
Probably, like, in her jacket pocket.
Okay, and I am going to say that off-screen, Kel's voice is not coming from the box. Kel has been wired into both a phone and into the earbuds. So, yeah, Kel's in everybody's ear, effectively, when he says this. So guys, I know that things are not good. Although if I could have gotten a better description, it would have been helpful. But there was a corpse in the middle of the bullpen.
Yeah, it's Barrow Mackay.
Yeah, I...
You remember him?
No, I get that. I get that. If someone felt like, you know, putting my webcam on as like a lapel pin, that'd be helpful. But, What are we gonna do about the fact that there is... we need to... police, or...
I mean, like, who can we even trust in the police right now?
I don't know, but somebody gets murdered in your office, and that's kind of a problem legally, right? I mean, as Kel is saying this, siren lights are kind of, because you're on the second floor, you can hear and see police sirens like lighting up outside the building.
Oh, well.
If there's a problem, they can solve it. If you need to find someone, they can do it. Stormwood & Associates is a detective, security, and federally licensed magic users agency. If you need help, they'll be there. But don't get in their way, or else you'll get caught in the eye of the storm.
Put my gun away.
NK does the same. Who called them?
Not it.
No. Absolutely not.
Mara just is on the kind of sitting off to the side. I don't remember. If any of us, it was just darkness. It didn't even see what, it was too fast. The interns are kind of shrugging.
This is bad.
I mean,
it's probably bad.
Okay. Great. This is just excellent. Nobody tell any of the police that I'm in your pocket. That just seems like a smart thing. But again, like, you know, if you could, like, poke a smartphone camera out of your pocket or something so I could see, that would be great. I can hack into that. And by hack, I mean I know all your passwords. Sorry.
I'll take my phone and put it in my front pocket facing so the camera's out.
This is better. Remember, I am in a box.
Yeah, I know.
All right, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's like there've been many times.
Trust me, we all know you're in the box.
Right, I know, but there's a lot of times in life where I've just been in your ear and just not in the room, and everyone's used to having me around that way. But like, I usually had like a physical body and like maybe a bag of chips sitting there, and like, you know, I could eat things. I miss eating. It's only been like I ate probably like 8 hours ago, but it's still weird. Okay.
You want us to put chips in the box?
No, don't put... I don't have a mouth. Anyway, so at that moment, the elevator doors open into the lobby. And out walk a few police officers. And then, like, what appears to be a detective. Just, like, a plainclothes guy. You don't recognize him. It's not like it's not Jim walking in or anything. The detective is a dwarf with a dark brown beard and just, you know, in a well-tailored suit. And he just walks in and he just looks at the dead body. Nobody go anywhere.
Not planning on it.
What the heck? We got a call that there had been a murder at this address from an anonymous tip. Someone sounded very panicked. And he's still like, yeah, because I'm going to assume that, yeah, The door to the waiting area is open. So he just kind of walks into the bullpen. Takes a solid look at Barrow Mackay. Who's in charge here?
Step forward. I am. As Stormwood, private detective. This is my office.
All right. Kind of sighs, takes off his sunglasses, which he's been wearing at night for no reason. You know, the call was short, but I can see that someone hung up.
Was that necessary?
All right. I'm Detective Trudeau. I need everybody to step into the waiting room while we secure the scene. And I can't, none of you are leaving.
Oh boy.
Kind of. Asks you all to step out into the waiting room. So what happens over the next probably 10 minutes is we're just going to montage this because 10 to 20 minutes because it would be really boring to roleplay. Is all of you kind of end up stuck sitting in the waiting room. The officers come in. They police tape around the area where Barrow's body was. There are photographs taken at one point within... Actually, this probably takes up to an hour. Photographs are taken of the body. Eventually, EMTs show up and take the late Mr. Mackay's corpse away. And, yeah, so it's... After about an hour or so, you guys are just kind of stuck there waiting while the police go through and appear to collect some evidence. And they, at one point, one of them asks you to identify the corpse. I'm assuming you just, you tell him who he is. It's Barrow Mackay. And eventually, the police end up, you know, it's a section of the, you, this is television, not real life, so nobody at me, about exact details of what police procedure is, because this show is not well researched by its writers, and our characters have to live with that reality. The area of the bullpen where the corpse was is kind of like stanchioned off, but you still have access to the most of the office. Which I know is wholly unrealistic for real life, but I don't care. That's the way it works in San Ricardo. So after all of this, and you guys are kind of sitting there, the detective, you know, walks up to Raz.
All right. I'd like it if you would come downtown to the precinct with me for questioning, just so we can understand exactly what happened here.
Jeez.
All right. The rest of you can stay here. We ask that you not go into the roped-off area of the office. We will be leaving a police officer here to stand guard over that area. But I understand that Ms. Sanchez actually lives here. And so we're not going to restrict access to the other parts of your office for now. But Ms. Stormwood, if you would come with me downtown, we can actually talk about what's happened.
Stay in touch. Don't touch it. Don't trust anyone.
Careful, boss.
All right. I'm sorry. Mr. Babbitt?
Yes, hi.
Why shouldn't your boss trust me?
To Babbitt's defense, he didn't specifically say you.
He said anyone.
He didn't say anyone.
I'm just here. Look, a man was murdered.
Babbitt just stares at him.
Okay. All right, Miss Stormwood. We'll take my car.
He walks you down to the elevator. And yeah, so Raz, you are driven to a police precinct that is, you know, probably about, you know, a 6-minute drive away. This is notably not the precinct that Jim Johnson works out of. You know, you go to him a lot because you had been going to him a lot because he was a family friend. Not because you necessarily were in the part of the city that he normally works as a precinct captain. And, yeah, so you're taken up to the second floor of the precinct, and led to a small interrogation room. It's bland. It has, you know, green. It's the color scheme of the room is brown and green. There's a large, you know, mirror, which you can assume is a, you know, a two-way mirror to another room. It's the most cop show of interrogation rooms of all cop show interrogation rooms. And you're let in, and they sit you down. All right. When you're let in, there's a second cop in the room. Is another plainclothes. He's a tall, dark-skinned elf with a goatee. All right. So again, I'm Detective Drew Trudeau. This is my partner, Detective Morris Durrell. The guy in the corner just kind of waves slightly. Please, please have a seat. Can we get you anything like a coffee? I know it's been a long night.
Yeah, that'd be great. What?
All right. He kind of motions to his partner, and his partner rolls his eyes and leaves the room. About, like, 30 seconds to a minute later, he comes back with a coffee, likely poured from, you know, whatever coffee pot they, you know, have going in the break room. Puts it down in front on the table. So, yeah, please, please take a seat. So, can you tell me in your own words what happened in your office tonight?
Barrow Mackay got murdered in my office tonight.
Where were you when Mr. Mackay got murdered?
Judging from possible time of death, we're probably still on the road. We were working a job out in Morris Halada.
Okay.
Coming back, just we got back to the office 10-20 minutes just before you did.
So you found him like that? On the ground.
We actually found him hanging. My associate NK was a close friend of his, and she immediately cut him down. I couldn't stop her.
She was one of your associates. I was under the impression that Ms. Keegan worked for Mr. Mackay.
She did. She worked with me when Barrow had to work a case by himself. She came over and joined me while he was working a solo mission. Obviously, that went wrong.
Okay. So, Mr. Mackay is a competitor of yours.
Yes.
Right, and from what I've been led to understand, that sometimes you'd come into conflict with Mr. Mackay in the field before. If I recall, there was an exchange of weapons fire in a pretty notorious car chase between, like, employees of yours and Mr. Mackay's team.
Is this true?
And that a member of Mr. Mackay's employee actually previously died in the days after that mission that you went into conflict with him, and that murder case with Mr. Piper has been obviously all over the news when he murdered one of the employees of Mr. Mackay.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. And what happened between then and now is my team had received a case that was very large. It was a bit too big for us to handle by ourselves. So we actually called in. Gen is trying to remember if this is actually true, if like we called in Barrow Mackay or if we were just working the same case separately and then decided to team up.
Which one? Town of Phoebe? Town of Phoebe, you happen to actually be working separate things in the same town that ended up being the same thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember the point where we became not so much enemies.
Oh, yeah, it was Town of Phoebe. Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to remember that little factoid.
It's okay. This is useful for the listeners, too. Because in Town of Phoebe, they were after Pat, who was a fugitive. Yep. You guys were there because you decoded from Piper's cell phone, which you had, a code where there was a communication of or effectively what you've now known as the Order of Greyhaven doing something in the Town of Phoebe.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that Royce was the person you were looking for there, and it turned out that Pat thought Royce was his contact to get a new identity.
Yep.
So it's just that, so you were after two different things that happened to be in the same town.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I relay that information to the detective, because I'm being truthful about everything.
All right.
Seeing where it goes.
And so you wouldn't describe there as being bad blood between you and Mr. Mackay?
Not as of late. In the beginning, yes, definitely. But later on when we started working together, not so much.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to leave you here for a minute. I've got to go check a few things. Can I get you anything else? Do you want like a donut or like...
No. Can I smoke in here?
No, you can't. That's just city rules. About
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, it's the other guy, Durrell, who has not said, Detective Durrell, who has not said anything, just kind of pulls up his sleeve and points to a patch on his arm.
Okay.
And kind of that's shrugs.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. With that, we're going to flash back to the Stormwood office. And, you guys are still all there because Raz has just left with the detectives. What are you doing?
Well, Bill is visibly pretty shook and just kind of hanging out at his desk, trying not to cause much of a disturbance, but also paying attention to how it looks like everyone else is doing.
All right. So, Babbitt, what are you doing?
Babbitt is packing bags, trying to find literally everything that he can that we can bring on whatever mission we're going on.
All right.
Like that.
All right. So Mara is just glowering and looking just unreasonably angry. But like for the first time, you kind of probably understand why. The interns are attempting to straighten up the parts of the office that they're allowed into. And by that, I mean Brian is stress eating coffee in a corner. Ginny, the chirpy halfling, is like just like nervously trying to like pick up any furniture that was knocked over. Lucian's gone home. the snobby elf who literally we've given no characterization to other than the fact that technically he's been in the room because there are five interns. Mike,
his name's Lucian. That gives him enough characterization. You know who this guy is.
Mike is actually trying to clean up the kitchen while Brian stress eats coffee on the floor. And Amy is running around, like, picking up stray papers. Amy, our goth-tired efficient one, is actually, like, cleaning stuff up. At one point, Babbitt, as you're packing gear, she starts handing you bags to put them in. NK is checking the computer system. Guys?
What's going on?
I can't log into the mainframe.
What, the what now?
I can't log in. My user access has been revoked. Okay, now that's different. This time I tried to log in and it said user not found.
Wait a minute. So, did Hollowell mess with our computers?
I don't know. It's... Bill, give me your login information.
All right. Let's see.
You just write it down.
Okay, right.
Because I hope you're following the proper password procedures.
He is absolutely not following the proper password procedures.
God damn it. Password as a password isn't more secure when you use the @ as the A.
Password with an @ as the A and 1234. No one would think of that.
Everyone would. Okay. She logs in to her computer with your account. Okay, so I've been deleted from. Okay, this is weird. I've been deleted from the payroll system. There's no evidence that I work here.
Just specifically you?
Yeah.
Okay, that is weird.
Something is wrong. Something is very wrong with our network right now.
Yeah, no kidding. This is very odd.
She kind of goes wide-eyed for a second.
I don't like that. What's that about?
Kel was Hollowell. Right?
Yeah, I'm still wrapping my head around that part.
Which means...
Ah, crap.
Hollowell saw everything Kel ever did? Ever?
Ah, crap.
Kel set up everything?
Yep.
This is a little bit more than bad. This is a little bit more than super bad.
Shit. I'm gonna... Okay, I'm... Kel? Kel, can... Kel, I know you're connected. Can you hear me?
Hey, Kel, we really need to pick up right now, bud.
He should be able to hear us on comms, no matter what. Everybody take out your comms. She takes hers out and stomps on it.
As does Babbitt.
Bill stomps. It takes a couple tries, though.
The interns take out their comms, because they've had comms this whole time. Because, why not? NK starts rifling through her desk and pulls out a lockbox. These are the old ARC team comms. I haven't, They're on an independent network. They're not connected to yours. And she starts handing out comms to everybody.
Okay, we're
everything
off to a good start.
Everything is compromised, and as she says, everything is compromised. Every computer screen in the entire place, except for NK's, turns off.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Not good.
And what you see is the virtual machine that she was running the client to log into Stormwood's network goes blank as well on hers. But her laptop is still on.
Oh, boy!
Awesome! That's not good.
Abbott takes out his personal phone. Is this compromised?
Your personal phone, no.
Okay.
So NK walks over to your phone. She pulls it up. No, you're not. She turns off your Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Now you're fine. We didn't have anything installed, and so he'd have to have hacked the cell tower, and I mean, Hollowell isn't a hacker. Kel was a hacker, but you don't need to hack anything if you know all the passwords.
So, we now know for certainty that everything Kel knows, Hollowell knows. That's great.
Yeah, and she looks up at the corner and looks at the security camera with the little red light on. Yeah, I'd say everything, plus maybe some more.
Ah, crap.
There are 4 security cameras in this place.
Babbitt goes and unplugs any of the,
yeah.
the security cameras.
Oh, boy. All right, so we're going to go back to Raz. All right, so sorry about that. The detective comes back in. He's had to talk to, you know, there's paperwork, there's stuff, you know, anytime anybody, you know, gets murdered, it's... Yeah, so you said you were on the road when he... But you think you weren't in town. That's interesting. So... Is there anyone who can verify that you were, like, not in the city when Mr. Mackay was killed?
I was in the vehicle with Bill, Babbitt, and NK. They can come along with me.
Okay. Is there... And you say all of these people work for you. Is there anyone who you weren't paying who can confirm that that you weren't in town?
I have 3 interns. They were at the office.
Okay. You have 5 interns.
5 interns.
And Mara.
So 6 interns? Kind of.
You pay Mara.
So she doesn't get included in the intern list.
Right. Right, but interns still have a, you know, motivation to... You know, because it's interesting that everyone else who was there is fine. And, you know, I had a chat with a couple of your interns there, and they don't remember anything. They just remember the lights going out, and then they were injured. And they remember Mr. Babbitt reviving them. But the only person who died was arguably one of your larger competitors in this city.
So, by your line of thinking, I'm lying about going anywhere. I somehow get Barrow Mackay, my competitor, drag him into my office and string him up by the rafters. In my own office. If I was gonna kill him, I wouldn't do it in my own frickin' office.
Okay.
He was put there probably as some kind of warning to me. I'm a private detective.
Yeah. I understand what you do, Ms. Storm. What I know, and I know the city's even hired you once, and it's just that I've been having conversations. And you see, I've spoken with a couple of people. And your story isn't really lining up.
How so?
Do you know a Jim Johnson?
I do. He's a family friend.
He's a precinct captain, yeah. And you know? And you know a Kel O'Reilly?
I do.
I was gonna, like... You see, Captain Johnson, he tells me that a week ago, Mr. O'Reilly, who I believe is your adopted brother, he came to him concerned that you were going to hurt someone. That he was worried that you might try to hurt Mr. Mackay. You see, and Mr. O'Reilly, he said that you had invited Mr. Mackay over for a meeting. Your story's not lining up with what I'm being told. And I don't know what I'm going to see when we review the security footage from your office.
Well, I think you'll find that I'm not there when he dies.
Okay. I'm gonna go talk to someone real quick. I'm sorry, can I get you anything else? I know you finished your coffee there. Can I get you another one? Or okay, I'm really sorry about this, but it's just there are so many unanswered questions that
I understand.
We need to nail this down. Gets up, goes out of the office, and so we are back to the Stormwood office. Okay. NK is just kind of freaking out a little bit. Okay, so
do we know what else has been tampered with, or
the entire network is down. Like, we are locked out. There's nothing here. Okay. So all right. So the good news is that there's some stuff that Kel didn't know about.
That is good news.
It's good news. Okay. Somebody boost me. And she points at the ceiling.
On it.
All right. You boost NK up back into, and she scrambles into the drop ceiling. And you hear some around. Eventually, like halfway across the office, a panel slides out and she sticks her head out of the ceiling. Okay, so the first thing I did, because I don't know, I just, I don't like everything that the Kel setup is all cloud-based and off-site, or, like, you know, all of it's, like, off somewhere else and not actually in the building. I set up local backups for data that skimmed the network. I didn't really do it legitimately because I didn't want to, like, I didn't want to mad when he came back and, like, be like, oh my god, what'd you do to my stuff? You broke everything. No. So I kind of was siphoning off data and duplicating everything onto backups. Someone get under me.
All right.
Someone other than Bill.
Babbitt goes over there, but I don't know how much use he's going to be. He's very small.
So no. I'm going to drop something down. And I need you to catch it. And I'm sorry, Bill. I love you, but you drop things.
No, that's a realistic. That's a realistic expectation of me. I can't be offended by that.
Yeah, and what you see is a small metal box, like an enclosure of some sort. It's a black metal box enclosure that with a little light on it and stuff, but it's been unplugged. And she just looks at you, Babbitt, and say, "Catch."
That it does.
Yeah, she drops it to you. You catch it. It's an easy catch, but.
And Babbitt immediately just takes it over to her laptop.
Yes, good. Okay, and she slides out, drops to the ground, runs back over to her desk, and says, "Okay. So this is a backup feed of the cameras." And on this drive, and then on the secondary drive, I have a backup of most of the recent data. Logs of, like, the fact that Kel was off on a mission and things like that. You know, all that stuff, right? So let's look at the security footage of what happened here, right? Right? That would be the thing to look at? Someone tell me if that's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, so she pulls up, cues the footage. What you see is the security footage that dials back. You see, like, the interns walking around, Mara standing in the, just kind of, like, sitting by her desk. Looks pretty normal. And the elevator doors open. And two people walk out of the doors. One person looks like Barrow Mackay. The other person looks like Raz. And the one who looks like Raz is carrying a staff with a large stone at its top.
Oh, but...
The two appear to be arguing. No one has, like... Mara is, like, reading a book and hasn't looked up. Everyone else is doing stuff. And then you see what appears to be Raz push back what appears to be Barrow Mackay. Notably, you can't see into the elevator and see what's still in the elevator. When suddenly what appears to be Raz lifts the staff and slams it to the ground, and the cameras go dark. Like, the feed cuts. A few moments, the cameras came back on in night vision mode, but the room is still dark. And you see what appears to be Raz holding a staff with a stone at its top, putting the staff down and hanging the corpse of Barrow Mackay on the hook. and then walking out of the office.
Okay. Yikes.
Babbitt texts Raz. How's it going?
My name is Trey Dorn, and I was your GM for this episode. Joining me, as always, were Nick Izumi as Bill, Kyle Johnson as Babbitt, and, of course, Gen Proc as Raz Stormwood. Stormwood & Associates is a production of Nerd & Tie. You can find more information at nerdandtie.com/stormwood. You can also find us on social media at Nerd & Tie on Twitter, nerdandtie.tumblr.com, and facebook.com/nerdandtie. This podcast can be subscribed to on anywhere that major podcasts are found: iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and quite a few other places, and anywhere that takes an RSS feed as well. To be continued. Hey, while you're still here, let me tell you about another podcast on the Nerd & Tie Network, and that's Let's Be Legendary. Let's Be Legendary, the Feywild West, is a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play game. So, an actual play game like this one, but like, you know, in a system people actually use in the real world. Set in a homebrew Wild West steampunk world, the Feywild West follows two people discovering what it means to be in a relationship, all the while seeking revenge and learning the truth of their pasts. Let's Be Legendary podcast is an LGBTQ+ podcast with both main and minor characters, as well as players falling under the queer blanket. A heavy RP game with a focus on story and characters. And you can hear it every week here on the Nerd & Tie Network. And you can find all their subscription information and links at nerdandtie.com/legendary.